Welcome to the Free to Lead podcast, journeys of leaders, driven by passion, inspired by purpose. My name is Will Steele. I'm the host of the show. I'm a transformational business and leadership coach. I say transform the business owner, you transform the business. So if you want to be the fullest version of yourself in the world, decisive, taking clear action, moving forward, producing the kind of results and having the kind of impact you really want to have in your business, in your life, and in the world, then stay tuned. The people on this show that we interview are handpicked. They've got pearls of wisdom. They're going to share their breakdowns, breakthroughs, their challenges, what they've dealt with, how they've grown, and how they've become free to lead. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, I'd love to hear from you, and I'll be telling you how you can get in contact in about 20 minutes' time. Right now, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of Free to Lead, Journeys of Leaders, driven by passion, inspired by purpose. And today I'm joined by Derek Fredrickson. He's the founder and CEO of The CEO Solution, a trusted fractional CEO service for entrepreneurs ready to scale without being overwhelmed. And he's over 16 years of experience as a second in command. He's helped business owners grow to seven and multiple seven figures while reclaiming their time and freedom. And he began his career in Wall Street, but found that his true calling was helping visionary leaders turn their big ideas into reality. He scaled his wife's coaching business to multiple seven figures and realized the power of strong operational strategy and team alignment. And now through the COO Solution, Derek partners with entrepreneurs to create scalable systems, drive accountability, ensure that the businesses run smoothly without the CEO being a bottleneck. So if you're a business owner and you're looking for a break from your day-to-day grind and you want to build a thriving self-managed company, then here we are talking to Derek. Derek, welcome to Free to Lead.
Thank you, Will. I'm excited to be here and I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, great. So I said a little bit about your journey. Why don't you give us your backstory, how you got to be where you are today and what it is that you would say that you do today?
Yeah, basically, as you said, I started out in Wall Street and quickly realized that was maybe not the professional path that was meant for me. My wife had a growing business coaching company. And so we decided to join together, a husband and wife. I know that may not be for everybody working with your spouse, working with your partner, but we decided to make a go of it. And she is what I would call the visionary, right? She's the CEO. It was her business, her big idea. She took the risk. But she was bogged down a lot of the day-to-day aspects of running the business, operating the business, the marketing, the operations, the team. So I stepped in and using my background, my experience, I didn't know anything about business coaching, but I knew a lot about managing teams and working with people and operations and processes and all that non-sexy stuff that comes to running a business. That's actually what helps drive the business forward. And we quickly realized that she's the visionary. I would be what I would describe as that second in command, right? That chief operating officer. And then we've been able to do that for the last 17 years together, which has been really fantastic. And then in the last several years, through the COO Solution, I've been able to provide that same model with other trusted fractional, meaning part-time chief operating officers that are stepping into run the business for the CEO. And that's not about taking control of their business. It's about giving them their control back for their business and freeing them up from the day-to-day and, like you said, the grind and the things that honestly a visionary should not be focused on if they're looking to scale their business. They shouldn't be focused on the daily operations, putting out fires. They should be focused on the big idea, the big vision. So that's what we help with our clients now.
Yeah. I don't know if you've read the book Rocket Fuel, but that's
of course, exactly yeah.
what I was talking about. And you have an yeah. integrator and you have the visionary, the creative, the visionary. And you look at many of the famous, successful people like Walt Disney. If it wasn't for his brother, he would have gone yeah. bankrupt before the first movie.
Exactly. Apple's the same thing. Yeah, there's always the combination between, I often say it's the kite with the string. Without the string, the kite can sometimes just fly away. And without yes. without the kite, the string is, let me add it. We're wired to make things real. We're wired to make things happen and finish things that entrepreneurs are wired to start. So it's a great combination when the synergy of those two things align. I often say the role of the visionary, the entrepreneur, is to make it up. Our role yeah. as a COO is to make it real.
Yeah.
And then with the right people and the right seats and the right processes, it can recur. And when you say that to an entrepreneur, they realize, oh, that's the magic sauce. Make it up, make it real. Because all they should be doing is making up the big idea, the big future, the big picture. And when they have that support to make it real, they get a lot of confidence. They get a lot of excitement about what the future can hold. So yeah, it's been very, very exciting journey.
Yeah, it's very good. I'm like thinking, God, I need someone like you. Very good. All right, cool. What makes somebody like yourself a real leader is someone, and I've just written a book about authentic leadership. When we're being authentic, if we're really told the truth, and when I get entrepreneurs and business owners on, at some point they're going to tell the truth about what's really going on, but they can't tell anybody else because you can't put it on the people you're working for. You're supposed to have all the ideas and all, and this is where we're going, right? What I'd love to do is just look with you to see, is there any area of your business, any area of your development or developing your business or developing other people that right now you could say there's something in the way, something slowing me down or stopping me or just having me not move to the next level. So rather than try and say what it is, we can get to that, but just talk about, is there an area right now you'd like to move to the next level in or,
Great question. I love that. It's like the expression, the entrepreneurship is often the fastest path to personal growth and development because it brings up all your stuff, right?
Sure. For sure.
Yeah. I think for me, two things, if I can share. I'd say number one, what's interesting, something that I've been going through. So like I said, and as you read, 17 years, I've been that second in command, right? I run other businesses for other companies.
Yes.
I launched the CEO solution. I'm now in the front, right? It's my business. And so there was a dynamic shift, almost a mindset shift that needed to happen to take off the COO cap, the operator, the one that makes other businesses happen, and kind of put on the CEO hat and be like, I'm doing this now for my business. And the person that I was as a second in command is a different person in some respect as the CEO. I'm more historically aligned to making other people's visions real. And now it's about, what is my vision? What's my big why? What's the thing that's really motivating me? And having to catch myself and not default back to my tendencies of what I would normally do as a COO and not get into the daily grind and the operations and say, hold on, I need to rely on my team. I need to rely on my process, my structure. My number one value is trust. And so when I have that trust with the clients and trusting with that team, it gives me a lot of confidence to be able to rely on that in that way. But I had to shift myself and who I was being and who I was showing up and launching a podcast, doing the marketing, getting out there in a really big way and stepping out from behind the scenes of a company to now really being the forefront of my own company. And that's been very exciting and empowering. And then the other thing that I shortly realized in doing that, because our business has been doing well and it's exciting, is I needed to walk my talk. I needed to actually get a fractional COO into my business to help run my company, which is exactly what I did. I just did a podcast episode this week called Walking the Talk, why I hired my own fractional COO. Because if I'm out there speaking to a potential client and saying, you need this level of support in your business, you need to focus on the big idea, you need to get out of the daily grind, you need somebody to be that air traffic controller in your company, I can't be saying that and saying you should be doing that when I'm not doing that myself. So there was a little bit of, I need to be walking the talk and living my message in that way very openly and very transparently. And that type of shift in those types of decisions, it sounds basic. I brought somebody on my team to help run my company for me. But for me, because of who I was and who I still am in some way, and my identity was a little bit of, am I ready to let go? Am I ready to release control? But with that element of trust and having that be something that's such a core value for me and the clients that I work with and the team that I bring on and the work that we do, that was like that guiding light, if you will, the trust factor. Yeah.
When you step into leadership, that's a stepping up of something. I would go with that, or what I would ask you is, what's uncomfortable for you about being the person in front, the leader?
That's your question. That's a good question. Yeah.
It's not a chat. I'm not out to catch you out. I'm on your side. No. This could open something up for you.
Yeah. I don't think there is anything, because I know what to do, because I've been teaching and coaching and supporting that in others. Now it's just a matter of giving myself the permission to do it on my own. But because of the way that I'm wired, right? We take assessments so we know what our kind of zone of genius is. We know how we're wired to take action. I'm wired to implement. I'm wired to execute. And so I'm balancing that with, at the same time, seeing what the opportunities are and almost surrendering to what's next. I don't know if you've ever heard of the book called The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. It's a great read about opening yourself up to what's next. And yes, before you go through with a logic of rationalize, it could do this and we might not turn out, and not to say yes to every single opportunity, but I'm saying yes to a lot of things to lead me into my bigger future.
Yes.
And doing it in a calculated way, as opposed to just jumping into things willy-nilly. But I'm seeing when the opportunity presents itself, there's a reason why that got brought to me. What's the reason I'm choosing to have this experience? And I'm choosing to say yes to see where it leads me to. So there's a little bit of that shift that's been going on. And it's, again, it's exciting. It's positive. It's optimistic. So I'm enjoying it. It just was, if I look back from where I was a year ago, the CUO solution is less than a year old. And so it's been this huge transformational journey. And yeah, I think it's a matter of saying yes and being open to opportunities in that way.
Good, good. And is there any kind of fear or resistance about that, about stepping in that way or letting go, if you like, so that someone else takes it?
There's always that, right? There's always, I think any successful entrepreneur has an element of the inner control freak in some way or another, and what used to be and what could be. I think what I do is I try to be real with myself and catch myself when I know I'm getting in my own way in that regard. For me, it's about relying and trusting and leaning on others to do things that allow me to take those steps forward, which is difficult, right? Because I'm a process-driven guy. I have a system for everything. I have a framework for how we do things. Structure is one of my values as well. And so sometimes I can see, especially working with team, I want it done this way. I want it done that way. This is exactly how it's supposed to be done. And I can see myself, and I'm catching myself more being like, you don't have to be so overly critical. The path can be the path. It's the result that is the thing that's the most important. So there's that balancing act.
Yes.
But a little bit of, I would say a little bit of letting go of control and using that muscle even more.
So a way to look at it, we might get a way in here, is what's normal for you is that having systems and it worked out, and by the sound of it, right? So we just, that's fair. So the way you've ended up is that's just how you are, right? It's the way you operate, where you function. It's what you rely on and you know about yourself that works. And you can, even if the guy doesn't perform, you can jump in and do it because that's what you know about yourself. For myself, mine's quite more simple. It's you've got more than one of these things, what I call strategies, right, for success that you fall back on. Mine was working hard. Just work hard. Just keep going and get it done and keep going and so tenacious. That's, you may have some of that, but yours is creating the systems, getting it organized, getting it like that, right? So if you look at that, where did all that start with you? Where did it all start about? And it could be a long time ago, where you started having to get things organized, systematized, or just planned.
Yeah, I think I would say probably, it's interesting. I would say it's probably one of those things that's always been there, maybe inherited in some ways from a young age. My father was in a similar, doing management consulting and working with clients and providing change in different ways and different forms. I think that's where that work ethic that you were speaking to comes from as well. But what I've realized about myself, as I shared earlier, I'm an American, but I'm living here in France. And part of, there's a culture of living in Europe and living in France where you're not working the grind all the time. You're enjoying the life a bit. And so I think for me, being able to say in the past, it was about working harder, right? And it was about the value, the significance that you see in yourself is coming from the amount of time and effort and energy you're putting into what you're doing, as opposed to the value is from the output and the benefit that you provide in not only yourself, but in your work with your clients. I didn't feel that when I was doing that on Wall Street, but I definitely can feel it now. But I think that organizational aspect, it's probably something that's been there from the beginning. We do these assessments where we know how we're wired. And I'm in the category of, I think in a methodology type of way, in a structured way, like I can see A to Z, I can connect the dots. Other people are wired in strengths that have to do with like relationship or influencing or strategy or learners or that sort of a thing. For me, it's all about arranging things in my head, connecting things, connecting the dots, seeing patterns. And I think it started out probably at a young age and just developing more in the way that I learn, the way that I interact with individuals, the way that I did my early part of my career on Wall Street, keeping things very structured, very balanced to make sure that things weren't going to fall off the rails, so to speak. And then just carried that throughout. That everybody's got that superpower. And so for me, that's that superpower. And I think it's then a superpower on steroids when it's with an entrepreneur that needs that structure to provide that stability for them to be able to do the big thing.
You find where best to utilize your power, right? Your strength, if you like. So this is nothing wrong with that, except what you'll find is it's just never enough. It never produces enough results because it's trying to, and this is what people don't know about it, is compensate for something, make up for something about you. My belief, if you like, and a very popular phrase now is limiting beliefs, but for me, it was just the way it was. I'm not actually intellectually smart, but if I work hard, I can get the result.
Right.
So even when I got my degree and my brother said, wow, you're so smart, I was like, yeah, not really. I just worked hard. Yeah. So it never actually makes up for what you're making up for. So what was being organized and systematized and having it all lined up and figuring it all out, what was that to, I don't know, not as, see, it might not fit the word compensate for, but I'm not that, but I can be that.
I have to give that a thought.
Shows up? What memory shows up when I say, where were you not this, but you could be this? I can do that.
Yeah, that's a good question. Probably somewhere in youth, right? Because that's usually where that's where the pattern gets ingrained. Gosh, you know what? Honestly, I don't know off the top of my head. Usually if it's one of those things where it's so clear, it's going to just jump right. Like I said earlier,
This is not easy. This is trying to find what's in what you're not seeing. Some people call it a blind spot, right? So another question I can ask you is, here's another question. Okay. What could you never be?
What could I never be?
Yes.
I think maybe, I don't know. I'll just, again, what comes up when you ask that is some, I didn't see myself as a really big risk taker. I like things to be stable.
And very good. So who in your past, growing up, maybe as a kid or a teenager or whatever, was a risk taker and you couldn't be them? You're not them.
I would say probably my father.
Okay.
Yeah.
And can you remember some moment back in time when you kind of looked over there and thought, but I'm not like that?
I don't know if it was, I'm not like that, but I couldn't see if that's what I could be, right? In that way.
What was happening at the time?
Probably we had just, gosh, I'm trying to remember now. I would say probably in my early teen years when my father was very successful he was working for IBM. Right. And doing really big kind of management consulting on the road, a lot of traveling all over the world, lots of success, not I'm talking about financial success, but, and I could see in the way that he was describing the work that he was doing and sharing, it was like really big impact and making big decisions. It was in sales, right? That was the thing that I'm like, I don't see myself as that risk taker when it comes to sales. So it was one of those, I don't know if I could be like that. Maybe something in myself just triggered and said, maybe not. So not to say I chose a path that was more safe or reliable, but that was more like the entrepreneurial journey, though he was doing it in a company, but it was based on sales.
I'm not that. I'm not like him. I'm just going to be what? Or I'm going to be what?
I think it's that consistent, stable, come up with a plan, come up with the structure. Right. That was my lane. That's where I feel.
Perfect. You just said exactly right. That was my lane. That's what that's me. And guess what? That does become you. Look, you've mastered it. You even teach it to others.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because it's come full circle a little bit. That's why I said earlier, I've been wearing the different hat. Yeah.
Exactly. See, we can go so far in the time we've got, but then the next level of conversation is to really explore that. What you made it mean that you're not your dad or you're not like that now when you perceive that in your future, it's not comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Or it's not natural for you, or it's not
Yeah.
just what you can just do. But you're having to make yourself, because logically you need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's the logic part, but it's, like I said, it's also a little bit now of the wearing the different hat part, which has just been interesting. Yeah. But here's the thing, the balance for me, and this is just what works for me, right? But the balance for me is that I get to do it almost in a combination of both, right? Yeah. So there's like the element of like sales is all about taking risks. It's about improvising. It's about providing transformation. But at the same time, I'm doing it in my way that works for me. So it doesn't seem like sales or doesn't seem like that element. It's I'm doing it in a way that's providing structure and stability and consistency and the things that value for me, because that's people resonate with that in that way. So I don't know if that last part made sense, but there's a balance there.
That's all explained to justify that way. If you look back at dad, and you look at your dad and you go, God, I'm not like that. I can't. He's taking these risks, producing these great results, he's been that way in life. Then you're talking to yourself, being with yourself. What are you thinking to yourself at the moment?
Say that last part again, sorry.
What are you thinking to yourself in that moment, or saying to yourself, or deciding?
Yeah, like I said, probably that may not be what my journey is. So I'm going to choose something that's different that I can identify with.
Yeah. So we said you're not that risk taker, and particularly sales guy. Because what was it about you that wasn't that for yourself?
I don't think it wasn't something that I could see. It wasn't something that I identified with in myself for whatever reason. Maybe it was because, again, we're going back a long time, but at that age.
You're doing great, by the way. This is a very fast kind of introduction into something.
Yeah. Just being able to be seen from others, peers, teachers, etc., that what they valued in me was that not being the risk taker and not being the one that stood out in that way. And so I think it affirmed that that's where I feel grounded. That's where I feel seen, valued, significant. So that feels good. I'm going to be in that box because that feels where I can be contributing.
And what is it to be in the other box, or to even think about or try to be in the other box as a kid back there? What would that be for you?
I didn't resonate with the ones that were like that. It didn't, they stood out. They were kind of ego-based and bragging and showing off and doing that in that way. And that didn't land for me. That wasn't the way that I wanted to be seen. So I think I was valuing myself and being seen in a way that could be the opposite of that. And in some way, I think that is somebody who's really good at sales, is they're out there. They're seen, they're emotive, they're expressive, and it didn't land for me.
Well, you were quiet? What were you?
Yeah, quiet, more reserved, more contemplative, not a big talker, the one that's thinking a lot. Maybe not. Some people, it's they speak before they think, and I'm usually the one that's thinking before they speak. Which is probably why this is an interesting conversation, because you're asking questions that, you know, having to think about on the spot. As sometimes it's like you just put it out there, but I have to like, what is that? I have to process it, not surprisingly.
Yeah, you've done a good job. I mean, I think I might have to lengthen my podcast so we can really let people open up and see it, because I don't want to say, I can say there's crumbs, we can follow the crumbs to get to. But once you get for yourself what in that moment you said you're not, that became like the truth, right? It's not, it's some, I don't know how old you were at the time, it's some 11-year-old's 12-year-old's view of life, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden wrote you off in that area.
Yeah.
Now for myself, academic, I'm not academic. There was an 11-year-old boy, Robert Tice, in my class. He could answer all the teacher's questions. He could already speak French. We'd never learned any French at that point.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't do that. I'm not that.
Yeah.
But I'll be cool and pretend I don't really care about studying and all that, because for myself, I'm not that. I'm not like academic and know all the answers, which is crazy. I went on to get a degree and the stuff I've done, flown fighter jets, I've done all sorts of stuff. But I'm not actually smart. But it's like in your fiber. It's
Yeah, exactly. It's in the
but it's
DNA.
underneath. And because it's underneath, whatever you're doing, you can never really feel fully whole and complete with the fulfilled with the results. That's why these people who are super, super successful, they have to produce results. They have, and it's never, ever enough.
Never enough.
Because it never fixes that thing they don't realize they're making up for that wasn't wrong with
The
them
whole
in the first
time.
place.
Yeah, I know.
All right, great.
I love it.
Yeah, tell me, what would you find most valuable out of the call for yourself today?
Just different conversation, different questions that get to the core of what's motivating people, what's driving people, and in that expression, in that sharing, vulnerably, transparently, a way of modeling that for others, giving them that kind of reflection and being able to kind of say, oh, that's interesting. So I wonder what that is for me. So I like the kind of thought-provoking nature of that. Yeah, very cool.
Great. Derek, how could people reach out to you? You've got CEOs out there and they would be desperate for a integrator or what do you call it? COO, right? To come and run it all for them. How would they find you?
They can go to my website. It's thecoosolution.com. They can find out more there. There's a quiz there that helps people find out if now is the right time to think about getting a COO on board. And yeah, they can check me out there.
Thecoo.com, is it?
No, thecoosolution.com.
Solution.com. All right. Fabulous. All right. Great. Derek, it's been great having you. And thank you so much
Thank you, Will. I appreciate it.
participating with me and giving us a chance to have an interesting conversation.
Yeah, for sure. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Will Steele here. Thanks so much for listening to the Free to Lead podcast, Journeys of Leaders, Driven by Passion, Inspired by Purpose. If you're a successful leader and you're driven by passion and you're inspired by your purpose and you'd love to be a guest on the show, we'd love to have you. Just visit podcast.willsteele.com. That's podcast.willsteele.com. Will Steele is spelled WILLSTEEL, all one word. If you got something out of today's interview and you'd love to share it on your social media, we'd love you to do that. You can take a screenshot on your phone, you can text it to a friend or post it on your socials. And if you know someone you think they'd be a great guest, tag them on social media or just let them know about the show and include the hashtag Free to Lead. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We're regularly putting out new episodes and content. And to make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, and your comments go a long way to help promote the show. And that means a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, go to our website, willsteele.com, or follow me on LinkedIn under Will Steele, or Facebook under Will Steele, or Instagram under Will Steele Coaching. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.